In our text this morning is one of the most convicting verses in the Bible. And I want you to notice this text, Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46. Notice what the Bible says in this passage. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Notice it once again. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" The Associated Press reported yesterday that barring any further legal action, same-sex marriages will be legal beginning tomorrow at 5:01 p.m. in California. The California Supreme Court ruling legalized this activity. Some counties plan to open their clerk's offices after hours. Others will wait until Tuesday. Once the ruling goes into effect, officials are required to issue gender-neutral marriage licenses, but they are not required to perform ceremonies. It is a tragedy that our state Supreme Court has overturned the will of the people, and now in the state of California, the undermining of the bedrock of our society, the family, has begun. But what is more appalling to me as a pastor is to think that as these couples obtain their license from the county courthouse, they will then make their way to a church with a pulpit and a pastor who will perform sacrilege. The Unitarian churches, the Episcopal, the United Methodist, the Metropolitan Community Churches, and other denominations who have sanctioned such activity will have pastors who will stand and perform these so-called ceremonies. And I am mindful today of the words of Jesus Christ when he said in our text, verse number 46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" These are men who say that they believe in God, they believe in the Lord. Then why do they not do the things which God has clearly said in his word? Why is it that we, as Bible-believing Christians so-called, call him Lord, but many times in our own lives do not do the things that he says? It is easy to sit in the church house and point our fingers at those who live according to what the Bible refers to as an abominable lifestyle, an abomination. But what about the times in our life when we say he's our Lord, but we do not the things which he says? I say to you this morning, this is a convicting verse indeed. Many men today are claiming greater wisdom than God. The California State Supreme Court has done that. They have claimed greater wisdom than God in establishing the family. Many people in the church house do this today. But I say to you this morning that a true man of God is a man under authority. He is a man who recognizes that leadership is not of himself, but it is indeed the gift of God. And today, as we come toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount and we hear the teachings of Jesus Christ in these parables, we see three characteristics of a man who is under the lordship of Jesus Christ. A true leader recognizes that leadership is vested to him by God above. Hence, he lives his life with the recognition that Jesus is Lord, and he desires to do what God wants him to do in this life. Three characteristics of a man following the lordship of Christ. Number one, this man follows his Lord. This man follows his Lord. Notice in verse number 39, the Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?" I want you to notice that a reason we must follow the Lord is because blindness is our hindrance. May I say to you that every one of us, without the Lord and without the leadership of the Word of God, are blind. We do not know which way to go. The Word of God is our light. We must have the light to show us the way to go. Jesus asked the question, can the blind lead the blind? There are many today who have leadership positions who are blind. We have seen recently illustrations of this, and I mean spiritually blind. I mean there are those who may be the CEO of a company, but they seem to be blind in the ways of leading that company. We think of Enron and other debacles. I think today of some who have been in leadership in high offices in the land, yet they were blind morally, and they fell into sin. They were blind leaders. You see, being in a leadership position, Dad, does not guarantee that you know how to lead or where to go. All of us need to follow Jesus if we're going to go the way we need to go, you see. And Jesus said, how can the blind lead the blind? 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, from which having some swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling or foolish questions, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. There are those who would teach the laws of God or those who would teach the laws of the land, but they do not know which way to go. They are as the blind trying to lead the blind. There are blind leaders. There are blind followers as well. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. We see this today throughout the land. There are people who no longer want to follow the doctrine of the Word of God, no longer want to follow the doctrine of their parents, and now they turn themselves to teachers who will tickle their ears and say, do what you want to do. It's okay to live the way you want to live. And now in America, it seems as though we have the blind leading the blind. And I simply say to you that a man of God is a man who says, Lord, I don't want to try to go my own direction. I want to go your direction. I want to go the way you want me to go. Oh, may we not be those who turn away from sound doctrine and try to go our own way. Do you understand this morning? We do not follow a man because of the place of his education or because of the color of his skin. We follow those who follow God. And when they cease to follow the teachings of the Word of God, then we must cease to support those who would want leadership or who would want our followership in this day. We follow the Lord because we are blind spiritually without the Lord. But notice secondly, we follow the Lord because Jesus is our goal. Jesus is our goal. I want you to notice in the Word of God, verse number 40, the disciple is not above his master. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Now the word perfect there means mature. The Bible says none of us are above the Lord. He's the Lord. But those who are mature are following the Lord. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. You see, the Apostle understood that for him to ask for someone to follow him, then it was incumbent upon him that he be a follower of Jesus Christ. Every dad today must say to his family, follow me. That is fine. But we must also say, as the Apostle Paul, as I follow Christ. Because, fellas, if you're not following Christ, you don't know where to go. So Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. A pastor years ago told the story about coming home. As he was in Bible college, still working his way through college, he came home from work and he worked in construction and different types of jobs. And his four-year-old son came up to him and said, Dad, he said, you're really dusty. And his dad said, well, yes, I am, son. And he kind of went out to the driveway and continued doing some things he needed to do out there. And after a little while, he looked over at his boy, and his boy was standing in the rocks by the driveway, and he's picking up rocks, and he was rubbing rocks on his pants and on his shirt. And his dad said, son, what are you doing? He said, why are you putting rocks all over yourself? And the little boy said, because I want to be dusty just like you, Dad. And that pastor said, I recognize right then and there that if my son will look up to me for being dusty, how much more do I need to show him the ways of God? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Yes, you are the head of your home, but God is the head of you. And all authority is under authority. And we must follow the mind of Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a man, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death of the cross. You see, in humility we must follow Jesus, and in servanthood we must follow Jesus, and in sacrifice we must follow Jesus. Ephesians 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What does the Bible say? You want to be a good husband? Follow Jesus. You want to be a good father? Follow Jesus. You see, it all comes back to following the Lord. And if we would consider his lordship today, then as men we must say, yes, Lord, use me in leadership, but I come under your authority as I endeavor to lead. A true leader in the home follows the Lord. Notice secondly, a man under lordship follows the Lord, but secondly, he walks in humility. He walks in humility. Now notice this with me, if you will, in verse 41. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Now, I believe a person that is under the lordship of God will first follow the Lord, and secondly, will walk in humility. Now, listen carefully. The biggest reason that men refuse the lordship of Christ is pride. Not just the pride in society today, the pride in Christian lives today. The reason that Christians refuse the lordship of Jesus Christ is because we want to do what we want to do, and we don't want the Lord interfering. Sometimes I'll hear young men say, young men that at one time said, I'm going to be in the ministry. Sometimes they'll say, I'm not sure if I want to be in the ministry. And I'll ask them, is that code language for saying, I want to live in the world? You don't have to be in the ministry, but are you casting off the lordship of Jesus Christ? My friend, today let me share something with you. Jesus is Lord. And he will be Lord, whether you allow it or not. He is Lord. He is fully in charge. And one of the reasons that we say, I want to do my own way, is because of the fact that we have pride in our life. Now, notice two things about humility. First of all, humility is not critical. Humility is not critical. Notice what it says here. Very clearly in verse 41. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? You ever notice that there are folks in life, they can always find the problem elsewhere. The word mote means the straw compared to the beam, which means the big piece of lumber in their own eye. Barnes says, and it's in your notes, we are much more quick and acute to judge the small offenses in others than much of the larger offenses in ourselves. Even a very small object in the eye of another we discern much more quickly than a much larger one in our own. A small fault in our neighbor we see much more readily than a large one in ourselves. You see, God says humility is not critical. And someone that is under lordship recognizes that only the Lord is perfect, that we are all growing, and we walk in humility before the Lord. Notice, secondly, humility sees our need to grow. A humble person says, I have not arrived yet. I'm still trying to grow. Notice in verse 43, A good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. You see, the fact of the matter is all of us are here this morning because we want to bear good fruit. And we humbly say, Lord, we're here asking you to help us to have good fruit in our families and good fruit in our church and good fruit in our lives. And the fact of the matter is that the tree that is used here in verse 43 is a symbol of the heart. You'll notice that in verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. You see, the humble man recognizes the necessity of keeping a tender heart toward God. And the fruit that is spoken of here is the actions or the attitudes that come forth from the heart. This little chart might illustrate that. You see, the actions or the words are the fruit, but the fruit is directly connected to the root. And so whatever's going on in your heart is going to be evidence in your life. And you see, sometimes we see the way someone dresses or talks or the way they are acting and so forth. It is simply a reflection of what's going on in their heart. Notice what it says in verse 45. It says in the latter portion, "For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Why does someone say things that are harsh? Why does someone always cuss or say wicked jokes? Or why do they talk back to their parents? Why do we see that fruit? Because at the root, there's no humility with God. There's no obeying the word. There's no heart for God. And because there is no heart for God, there is an action that is evidence of that lack of humility in their life. Notice, if you would, in Psalm 139, 23, how David dealt with this problem of pride. David said in Psalm 139, verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my," what does it say? "Try me and know my thoughts." Let's read that verse together, shall we? Look in your Bible and read it with me. Ready, begin. "Search me, O God, and know my," try me and know my, "and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now look right up here. There will be times when men will not read your heart correctly. How many of you as parents have ever had a time you saw something you thought was wrong in your child, and sometimes it has been a correct analysis, and sometimes you prejudge. Parents, anybody ever do that? Sometimes we can guess someone's heart incorrectly. Sometimes you may think someone was wrong when they weren't, but let me tell you something. God gets it right every time. One lady came up to a preacher at a revival meeting, and she was kind of being pious, you know. She walked up to the front. She said, "You know, I don't really know of any sin in my life, but I just thought I'd come forward to encourage you as the preacher." He said, "Let me tell you what to do, ma'am. Why don't you just kneel down right here and start confessing sin and just see what happens? Just try to guess it some." And she came back to the preacher after church. She said, "You know, I guessed right the very first time." Every one of us, if we'll open our heart before God, He'll show us what needs to be taken care of. And sometimes when we see the fruit of marital problem and the fruit of anger, if we'll just get right with God and say, "Lord, show me what's going on," He'll pinpoint in our heart what needs to be dealt with. Now, a man or a woman that is under the lordship of God is, first of all, following the Lord. You can't have the blind leading the blind. We must follow the Lord. Secondly, we must walk in humility. And finally, we must build on the truth. These are the three characteristics of a man under lordship. He follows the Lord, he walks in humility, and he is building on the truth. Now, we are here this morning to build our lives on the eternal truth of God. Notice what it says in verse 46. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Now I want to share with you in these closing moments how to build your home and how to build your life. First, you must consent to the truth. You must consent to the truth. This story of the house on the rock and the house on the sand is a story about a man's response to the truth. Look at what it says in verse number 48, verse number 47. "Whoso cometh to me," notice, "and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like." So here is a parable about a man's response to the sayings of Jesus Christ. And God says that we must build as we consent to his truth. Now, in recent surveys, it has been reported that 68 million out of the 94 million men in America do not attend church. In spite of that fact, in spite of the fact that 86% of those men attended church as children, the vast majority of men today do not attend church. What is tragic about that is that in many churches the truth is taught and found. Hence, we see today a turning away from the truth in the United States of America. We see men who will not consent to the truth. Hence, we see the breaking apart of our society today. Men, we must come to God's house. We must hear the truth gladly, and we must consent to it or obey it. Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we must have faith in God and faith in God's word. Look in your notes there at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now let's catch that. The church at Thessalonica, when the apostle Paul sent them his word, they received it how, class? They received it as not as the word of men, but as it is in truth what? The word of God. Paul said, when I wrote to you, you recognized my writings as the inspired, infallible word of God. Now then, there are clergymen in the state of California who receive the word and they say, oh, this is nice. And oh, this is good literature. But they receive it as the word of men and they put their word on an equal plane. And God's word says that a man should not lie with a man and a woman should not lie with a woman. But they say, well, that's just man's word, so we're going to do what we want to do. And they deny the infallibility of the scriptures and they ridicule fundamental Baptists like your pastor. And they ridicule those who interpret the Bible literally, and they receive the Bible not as the word of God, but as the word of men. I'm going to tell you, we will not build strong families, and we will not build a strong nation until we get back to the matter of saying, this is the word of God. And we will consent to the word of God. I'm told that only about 30% of Americans believe in absolute truth anymore. Would be to God there would be some men in this room. I mean some 18-year-olds, some 19-year-olds, some 30-year-olds, some 80-year-olds. Some men who would say, if there is only 1% of the men in this country, the United States of America, who believe in absolute truth, I will be a part of that 1% who believe God's word is true. And I will stand by it. We must consent to the truth. We must not come to church and receive this as the words of men. And if you don't like something I say, that's all right. You can cross it out. But if there's something I'm saying that's based on this book, brother, I encourage you to follow what God's word says. And someone said, well, that preaching just rubs my fur the wrong way. Then turn the cat around. Just get to that place where you're in agreement with what God's word says. Consent to the truth. Secondly, fellas, on this Father's Day, we must construct on the truth. We must build on the truth. Verse 48 talks about a man who built an house and he digged deep. In order to lay a good foundation, sometimes you have to get through the worthless materials of this world in order to get down to the bedrock. I've learned a little bit about building programs in 22 years pastoring here. Many of you remember when this was just a field of tumbleweeds. And one of the things we've had to do with every single building, we've had to come in here with tractors, and for this building, we had to go down 16 feet and dig a hole 16 feet in the ground. Then we had to bring scrapers and bring that dirt back and compact it. Then we had to hire engineers to come and test it. Then we had to have the city come in and test it to make sure that the pad was ready and that the foundation was suitable. We spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on this building before we ever put 1 yard of concrete or 1 2x4 to get the building built. Why? Because according to the standards of building, the foundation is the most important part of the building. Now, I wish we could have maybe not had to spend the money, or maybe it didn't take so long. But I'm going to tell you right now, you don't want to take shortcuts in California building a building. And you don't want to take shortcuts with your family either. You want to build God's way. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, and that is Jesus Christ. In other words, when it comes to spiritual building, you want to build on the rock, Christ Jesus. Build on the truth of Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you will avoid the tragedy of destruction. One man built on the rock. What did the second man do? Verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation. And by the way, notice that in verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth what? By the way, these folks that are going to perform these marriages this week, they have heard exactly what I'm preaching this morning. They have heard it, but they're not doing it. He that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth. And by the way, lots of Baptists hear and don't do anything. They are hearers, but not doers. And when you hear preaching like this and do nothing with it, you will be accountable for what you have heard. To whom much is given, much is required. Look up here on the screen and you'll get an illustration of it. Here's some homes that were built on a silty foundation. Next picture, give you a little close-up. These homes, maybe in Malibu, were built on a soft foundation. The engineering undoubtedly was faulty. And I tell you, while it is tragic when a home physically falls apart, it is much more hurtful when a home spiritually falls apart. Our good friend, Brother Tim Rule, preached at the camp out yesterday, and on the way back home, we got about to Mojave, and zing, zing, our cell phone started working, and we turned them on. There were messages, and so I'm answering messages, and he's answering messages. And one of the messages he got from an assistant pastor was that two of the families at their church in Chico, California, on Friday evening, the flames from the fires in Northern California came in and literally took those homes right down to the ground. And he was calling the families and comforting them. And we were commenting on the fact that thank God that no one was hurt, that all the people got out safely. And it's a tragedy when someone loses their home physically. But I tell you, my friends, as I've been in the ministry here preaching and serving for 22 years, as I've been preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ since 1980, I can tell you I'd far rather see a home burn than a home split. There's nothing more tragic than seeing a family that heard but did nothing. I'm simply saying you can't build a strong home on HBO. That's the sandy soil. You can't build a strong home on MTV. Some of you walking in here 15, 20 minutes late, I'm glad you're here. You listen to me now. We're talking about building a house on the rock, Christ Jesus, on the rock, the Word of God. And a lot of Christians today want about 20 minutes of Jesus on Sunday and about 6 or 10 hours on the rest of it. And they're building their home with the wrong materials. And when the earthquake comes, you're going to find it's going to fall apart. We used to sing a song when I was a kid in Sunday school. And it kind of helped me learn this principle about how to build. The song went something like this. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Did any of you ever sing that? Let me see. Any of you? All right. Those of you that sang it, help me. The rest of you, look at us like we've turned Pentecostal or something. Just bear with us here. All right. All right. Let's try singing it now. If you know it, sing it with me now. The wise man built. Wait. We have a few that are too cool to do it. Come on now. Get with me here. Help me. Here we go. Let's just be fools for Jesus' sake. All right. Try it now. Here we go again. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. All right. Now then, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. And the house on the sand went smash. So, build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessings will come down. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. Build your house on the Lord. Now, my friend, hear me. Hear me. Build your house on the Lord. Build your house on the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said this,
Why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I say? You're no different than the gay marriage crowd. If there's something in your life today that you need to take care of it, why don't you take care of it? You're not saved this morning, why don't you turn to Christ and ask Him to be your Savior? There's some sin in your life, there's some anger in your heart, there's some rebellion. Why do you call Him Lord and don't do what He says? Why don't you come this morning? Men of God, why don't you say, I'm going to follow the Lordship of Christ. I will follow my Lord, I will humble myself, and I will build on His truth. I will do His will for my life. Oh, friend, today, it is a tragedy when someone builds on the sand and the storm washes them away. Build your life on the rock. The Bible says in Jude, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. May we build on the rock, shall we pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this time this morning to come and learn how to build our lives, to follow you as our Lord. Help us, Lord, not to call you Lord and not do the things that you say. Help us to be sincere in our walk with you. And Lord, if there's someone here without Jesus as their Savior, I pray today that they would trust Christ.